simple friend expects you to be always there for them. A real friend expects to be always there for you. And there's a whole lot more. But I just wonder, what do our friends think of us? What do your friends think of you? What do they say about you? Maybe your colleagues or your neighbours. Would they say you're a real friend or just a simple friend? Are you someone who really cares for them? Are you a blessing to them? A real blessing to know? Over the last few weeks, if you've been here in our series in 1 Peter, we've been looking at how to relate to people, how we as Christians in a non-Christian world should be relating to the people around about us. So we've been looking at how to relate to governments and authorities, how to relate to employers, how to relate to spouses who may not yet be Christians. And Peter's going on to sort of summarize where he's got to in the letter. But first of all, he just says something about Christian family. So I'm at chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers," that's in the Christian family. "Be compassionate and humble." Be a blessing to each other, he's saying. Live in harmony, that means be of one mind as a God's people. And we should be, shouldn't we? We are saved by the same Savior. We have the same goals. We're going to the same destination. Be sympathetic. We're part of one body. We're in it together as Christians in the world. Be compassionate, tender-hearted, caring for each other. Be humble. Don't put yourself on a pedestal or put other people down. Be a blessing to each other. Well, that's all very well in the Christian family, and we have to work at that hard enough. But the rest of this passage is about non-Christians. How are we to relate to non-Christians? Peter's going on with that theme. And I think verse 9 is a summary of what we're going to look at this morning. Look at verse 9. "Do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So here's what the passage says. You are heirs of God's blessing, so be a blessing to others. You are heirs of God's blessing, so be a blessing to others. So Peter says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Sometimes as Christians we face opposition because of our faith, don't we? We face insults. And Peter is here really echoing what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Do not repay evil with evil. This word repay is a financial word. It's about paying someone the wages that are due to them for the work they've done, or paying back a debt you owe someone. It's about paying what they deserve. And human nature, I think, is to retaliate. Someone insults us or harms us, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Give them what they deserve, take revenge. Scratch my car, I'll slash your tires. Slap my face, I'll break your arm. Dog eat dog. That's human nature. But that's letting the world control you. That's playing their game. And Peter says, don't. Don't be a pawn of the world. You set your own agenda as a Christian. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but rather with blessing. Why? Well, it's there in verse 9. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Blessing others and being blessed by God go together. So that doesn't mean we earn our salvation by living a good life, but it does mean that our godly lives are evidence of our standing with God as his children. In first century Palestine, sons nearly always did what their fathers did. So if the father was a farmer, the son was going to be a farmer. If the father was a fisherman, then the son would be a fisherman. If the father was a carpenter, the son a carpenter, and so on. Like father, like son. So when Peter talks here about inheriting a blessing, it means we're God's heirs. It means we're God's children. And it means we're to be like our Heavenly Father. Like Father, like Son. So when we repay evil with blessing, we are doing what God does. We are doing what God has done for us, undeserving as we are. And it's the proof and the demonstration that we really are God's children, that we really have been born again into God's family. We show the family likeness. We're going to inherit the blessing. We're heirs of the new heaven and the new earth. We looked at that a number of weeks ago, right at the beginning of Peter. The Greek philosopher in the first century, Lysias, said this. He said, "I consider it established that one should do harm to one's enemies and be of service to one's friends." And I'd just like to ask us this morning, where would we be if God had treated us like that? Where would we be? Blessing others is asking God to show them the same grace, the same favor that he has showed to us. And if we refuse, if we repay evil with evil, and if we repay insult with insult, it really means that we don't consider them worthy of God's grace and forgiveness. And if they're not worthy, well, neither are we. If God can't show them grace, why should he have shown us grace? So as God's children, we're called to bless, Peter says, so that you may inherit a blessing. And then in verses 10, 11, and 12, Peter quotes from Psalm 34. "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." God blesses those who live godly lives, the psalmist says. Doesn't mean that believers can expect to have a trouble-free life in this world. When David wrote this psalm, he was being pursued by King Saul. He was being hounded down for his life. From place to place, he went and hid with the Philistines and escaped from them. That's when he wrote this psalm. And David's witness is that in all the difficulties and the problems he suffered when he was in trouble, he really knew the blessing of God, a relationship with God. Living for God brings blessing in this world, even when we face trouble and suffering. And finally, it all points forward to the blessing in the new heaven and the new earth, our inheritance, finally. Well, all this leads Peter on to consider how we can be a blessing to others in the face of suffering. How can we be, how's that going to work out in practice, that we should be blessing those around us? And the first thing he says is this: bless them when they oppose you. You are heirs of God's blessing, so be a blessing to others. Bless them when they oppose you, even when they oppose you. Verse 13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Ought to be a rhetorical question, shouldn't it? And the answer should be, well, no one, of course. But sadly, that's not true. You would think if you were kind and gracious to other people, then you would have good relationships with them. But what we find in practice is that many non-Christians react against godliness. Jesus said, everyone who does evil hates the light. People have a conscience. They know good and evil. They know right and wrong. They see a Christian living a godly life, and it makes them feel bad. It makes them feel guilty. It makes them feel accused. And the more you live out a godly life and seek to bless them, some of them, the more they resent it. And the more they oppose you. So you see, as believers, we're not just attacked despite doing good. Sometimes we're actually opposed for doing good. That's what Peter says in verse 14. Even if you should suffer for what is right. Well, Jesus had warned his disciples about that. Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. We are aliens and strangers in the world. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will persecute you also. Some people would like to say that if we just lived like Jesus, then our lives would be happy and easy. But for some people, the more they see Jesus in us, the more antagonistic they become. That's the reality. So maybe someone gossips about you at work, and all you do is say good things about them, nothing bad about them. You'd think they'd react positively, but they don't always. Sometimes it just makes them more malicious. Or maybe you lend money to someone and they never pay you back, and you're still prepared to lend to them again. You'd think they'd be grateful, but sometimes they're just suspicious. In the 16th century in Holland, the Mennonite Christians were outlawed. They were hounded down. If any of them were captured by the army, they would usually be executed. And in one particular occasion, a man called Dirk Willens was fleeing from the forces, and he was being chased over a frozen lake. And one of the men chasing him fell through the ice into the freezing water. And Willens heard his cries, and he stopped, and he went back, and he rescued this man out of the water. And then they arrested him and burned him at the stake anyway the next day in the next town. Because he stopped to help, he ended up being killed. So Peter says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? And sadly, the answer is quite a lot of people. Even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. And blessed here means happy. It's a different word from blessing in word 9. It really means congratulations. So if you're opposed because of your Christian faith, it doesn't mean something's gone wrong. If you're opposed for your Christian faith, it doesn't mean that God is displeased with you in some way. On the contrary, if people see that your life as a believer is distinctive in your neighborhood or your place of work or your family, and they react against that, well, congratulations. You're being a witness for Christ. You're blessed. So Peter has said, do not repay evil with evil, or insult with insult, but with blessing. Bless them when they oppose you. When you bless others, you are blessed, no matter how they react. But often I think we sort of hesitate to live like that, don't we? We're afraid to live out our faith before others. We're afraid to keep talking about our faith to others because we're afraid of their opinions. We're afraid that they might laugh at us. We're afraid that we might lose friends or be rejected. In many parts of the world, Christians are afraid they'll actually be physically persecuted or attacked. And Peter says, don't be. Don't be afraid. Look at the second half of verse 14. Peter says, do not fear what they fear, the world. Do not be frightened. So bless them, do not fear them. Bless them, do not fear them. Do not fear what they fear. Literally, it says, the fear of them, do not fear. The sort of things they fear, don't fear. And don't fear them either. Our natural instinct is to fear men. And Peter says, don't. And the quotation here, in the second half of verse 14, is from the prophet Isaiah. And the situation is that King Ahaz in Judah has been threatened with invasion by the northern kingdom of Israel and their next-door neighbor, Aram. And the people of the southern kingdom of Judah are scared, and they are urging King Ahaz to enter into an alliance with the superpower of the day, which is Assyria. And the prophet Isaiah says to King to Ahaz, don't do that. This is what he says to King Ahaz, do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Trust God, Isaiah says. Fear God. But Ahaz feared men, and he made an alliance with Assyria, and the Assyrians marched in and invaded Judah. So Peter says, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. And frightened here means shaken up. It means rattled. And I think we are easily rattled by opposition when we talk about our faith to other people. We share Christ with someone and they really have a go at us about it. And we feel threatened. We feel maybe out in a limb. What should we do? Well, look on to verse 15. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Do not be frightened. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. Set apart Christ as Lord. Well, that's done in our quiet times, spending time with the Lord. That's done as we encourage each other on Sundays, as we meet together at home groups, as we spend time with other Christians, as we more and more learn to say Jesus is Lord and mean it. Jesus is the one to reverence. Jesus is the one to fear. Jesus is the one to obey. The psalmist said this, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Perhaps you remember the apostles in the early church in Jerusalem, and they're forbidden by the Jewish leaders to preach the gospel. And what did they say? We must obey God rather than men. How did they do that? Well, in their hearts, they'd set apart Christ as Lord. And that's an ongoing relationship, daily worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ, daily submitting, daily reading his word, daily praying. And the result is a whole life lived in service to Jesus, every corner submitted to Jesus, so that we lose our fear of men. What can mortal man do to me? And then when we're put in the spot, our natural response is a godly one, because Jesus is our meat and drink and the air we breathe. Jesus is Lord. We're not going to retaliate. We're going to bless because we've set apart Christ as Lord. There's an old Indian proverb that says, whatever you are overflowing with will spill out when you are bumped. And the picture is of a woman perhaps in a village with an urn on her head with milk or water or whatever in it. And she's walking along and some careless youth runs across her path and makes her stop suddenly. And what's in the urn spills out. And that's when you see what it is she was carrying. So if you and I are full of Jesus, that's what will spill out when we are bumped. That's what will naturally come out when we're opposed or when people insult us. It won't be retaliation. It will be blessing. You are heirs of God's blessing, so be a blessing to others, says Peter. Bless them when they oppose you. Bless them, do not fear them. And then thirdly, bless them with the gospel. Bless them with the gospel. Verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do people ask you about your faith? I wish people asked me more about my faith. I regret that my life isn't more distinctive so that people would be struck by it. I wish more people asked me about my hope because it's obvious to them that it's not in the here and now, it's actually in the there and then. Here's a definition of evangelism. Evangelism is living the sort of life that makes people ask the sort of questions to which Jesus is the answer. Evangelism is living the sort of life that make people ask the sort of questions to which Jesus is the answer. Now, did you notice what Paul said in verse 15? Always be prepared to speak to everyone. Always and everyone. I don't know about you, but I spend my life as a Christian missing opportunities. I wish I'd recognized that opportunity. I wish I'd been brave enough to take that chance. I wish I could rerun that situation and I'd do it differently. You like that? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. How? How are we to do that? Well, I think this little phrase is often quoted out of context. Peter says, always be prepared, and people say, well, how should I be prepared? Maybe I should be memorizing gospel outlines. Maybe I should be learning evangelistic techniques. Maybe I should be going on courses in apologetics so I can trot out defenses of the gospel and proofs of Christianity. And all of these things are useful and good, but they're not the most important thing. Most of verse 15 is actually all one sentence. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, being always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you want to be effective sharing your faith, then the first thing to do is to look after and nurture your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to be leading people to Jesus as Lord, you need to be making sure that Jesus is Lord in your own life, first and foremost. And then you won't be afraid of men. And then you will be always ready to give an answer. Literally, Peter says, always be prepared to make a defense to everyone who asks you. So the situation is really about hostile questioning. You're put on the spot about your faith. They're trying to provoke you. And when Peter says make a defense, he doesn't mean launch a counterattack. Peter says, give an answer, but, verse 15 at the end of the verse, do this with gentleness and respect. Sharing the gospel isn't about being pushy. It isn't about asserting our superiority over other people or trying to impose our will and prove we are right. It easily turns into that, doesn't it? It turns into winning an argument. If we're not very careful, an argument about evolution, or an argument about abortion, or an argument about hell, or an argument about other religions. And of course, there's a place for dealing with all of these issues, but apologetics is not the gospel. The gospel is explaining what your hope is, and who your hope is in, and why, and what Jesus has done for you, and how wonderful it is, and how it's changed your life, and how you know you're going to glory. And doing that with gentleness and respect. We won't bless people by arguing with them. Peter says, bless them with the gospel. I guess some of us have seen Christians sharing Christ in a most un-Christ-like way. When the truth of Christ is affirmed in arrogance, it is denied. Can't remember who said that, but it's right, isn't it? When the truth of Christ is affirmed in arrogance, it is denied. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And Peter goes on in verse 16, keeping a clear conscience. Keeping a clear conscience. Our defense of the gospel must be backed up by our lives. Sometimes people say, well, Christians are hypocrites. And sometimes they're right. If we say Jesus is Lord and we live a life of disobedience to Jesus, people see through that. There's nothing that gets in the front page of the local newspaper more quickly than vicar runs off with verger's wife or something like that. Unbelievers are quick to jump on Christians when we fall short. And they're right. And Peter says we mustn't put ourselves in that situation. Keep a clear conscience, he says in verse 16, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Make sure any accusations of evil are untrue. Make sure the only thing they can attack you for is your good behavior. One translation of this verse reads like this. Keep a clear conscience before God, so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick, and they'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. A consistent Christian life makes an impact. If we're a blessing to others, it backs up the gospel message we declare to them. And sharing the gospel with people is the greatest blessing we can give them. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. The ultimate blessing is the gospel. And the ultimate discrimination is to decide not to tell someone the gospel. Maybe when they do evil to us, maybe when they insult us, not to bless them with the gospel. Would we really do that, I wonder? Would we really not share Christ with someone because they harmed us in some way? As a punishment, because we don't like them? It's a shocking thought, isn't it? Well, a simple friend tells you what you want to hear. A real friend tells you the gospel. He's always prepared, she's always prepared to tell you the gospel, no matter what you've done, no matter whether you've insulted them, no matter whether you've attacked them, or they've done you evil. A real friend is always prepared to tell you the gospel. That's the sort of friends we want to be. You are heirs of God's blessing, so be a blessing to others. Bless them when they oppose you. Bless them, do not fear them. Bless them with the gospel. And that's what Jesus did, isn't it? He welcomed sinners. He was the friend of sinners. He was a real friend, despite all that human beings did to him. He didn't retaliate, even on the cross. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And even as they crucified him, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." That's how Jesus blessed us. And now we're to be a blessing to others. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the tremendous privilege of being your children, of being your heirs, heirs of the new creation. Help us to live our lives in ways that show the family likeness, so that just as you blessed us, we bless others. Father, forgive us when we are rattled and fearful when people have a go at us for our Christian faith. Forgive us when we're tempted not to speak to people about Christ or spend time with them because they're unkind to us. Forgive us when we're slow to tell what you've done for us because we haven't really spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ, setting him apart as Lord in our lives. Father, help us to make sure that we're walking closely with you so that we might be able to fear not men but God and always be prepared to be a blessing to them with the gospel. For your glory, amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Hugh. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You're here visiting with a friend or you're here for the baptism. I wonder whether you think that the greatest blessing that your friend wants to share with you is the good news of Jesus. That is the very best thing that they can do, is take an opportunity to talk through with you what they believe and why. Because in Jesus Christ, God has given us the greatest blessing that God can give to any human being, eternal life in his name. If you are here and you're not sure what this blessing is or what it means, there is literature available on the tables over there by the display boards. Please do feel free to browse and take anything that you think would be helpful for you to understand the blessing of God in Jesus. If you're here this morning as a Christian, is Jesus Christ set apart as Lord over all of your life? Do you long to speak with others about your Lord? And do you long to live the sort of life that causes people to ask the sort of questions to which Jesus is the answer? Well, let's encourage each other to answer yes to both of those questions in the words of our next two songs. We're going to sing "God Gave Us His Son." And in the chorus, we'll say, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. I can't deny your power within me. Here I am, send me with this message." And then we're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision, as we ask that we might have the sort of life that leads people to want to ask these questions. And even if that brings opposition, we won't fear human beings, but we'll continue to live that life. So let's stand and sing, shall we?